Linda Phillips, Precinct 6. I have a big problem. Under Article 6 in the spring town meeting warrant, as was mentioned earlier, $500,000 was added to the capital plan to replace the contingency fund at the high school for the culvert. Why are you asking for that money to be replaced again?
Mr. Spanfora?
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I think there may be a misunderstanding. I think at the town meeting that you're referring to, we are talking about replenishing not only contingency, but some of the FF&E and technology that we had to pull away because bids came up more than expected.
Mr. Spadafora, you are incorrect. I played the tape from the spring town meeting, and there was no conversation about replacing the technology loss reduction of 488, which you did before you even went out to bid, nor was there any discussion of replacing the $162,000 for furniture, fixtures, and equipment that you reduced from the scope of the plan before you went out to bid, nor there was any discussion at town meeting about the $50,000 that evaporated for the new library books that you were allowed in the project. The whole discussion of getting the support of town meeting for the $500,000 was to replace the damaged culvert. I spoke at the time that in the feasibility study phase, when Flansburgh, our latest feasibility study that was done in 2002 by Flansburgh that we paid $425,000 for, Judith Nitsch, the engineer, the site engineer, and you all know this, but I'm repeating it for those of town meeting members who don't pay attention to detail, identified the culvert as needing to be included in the project. The town manager wrote a letter to the school committee and the superintendent with the support of the town maintenance department and town engineer that the culvert needed to be included in the scope of the project, yet it was not when it went out to bid. And on a previous slide that you had, alternates, extras to the project were included instead of the culvert because the bids came in very high and it was stated at the time that the contingency fund would be used to pay for some of the extras. I would suggest that before we do anything else on this article, that all of us acquaint ourselves with our votes that we take at town meeting. I take my vote very seriously, and I did not support transferring that money because also, if you remember, we had a 22-person discussion about using special ed money to support the contingency fund. That might refresh your memory, Mr. Spadafora. So I do take offense that this is coming back again for the same reason, to replace the contingency using the culvert as an excuse. I wasn't born yesterday, as you can tell, and I don't appreciate you using town meeting
Ms. Phillips, you're making accusations now. Please keep.
I want to know why this is coming back to town meeting when we already gave the school department the $500,000 to replace the contingency. What is this money for? It's not for the culvert. Please tell me.
Mr. Moderator, I have
no comment.
You're not telling me, or you're still using the culvert?
I think we've discussed this during the presentation.
I want you to be honest. I just proved that.
Ms. Phillips, do not accuse people of not being honest.
How do we remedy
this? Stick to the facts and do not bring personalities into this.
I just gave the facts. Do we need to have that tape brought up what we voted on?
Ms. Phillips.
I don't know how else to resolve this. I'm trying to be as accommodating as I can, but this is wrong.
Mr. Spadafora.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I'm not going to address Mrs. Phillips' questions. I think the questions were addressed in the presentation. I think we have the talented staff behind us who went through this and described it. The difference from the last town meeting is that we found an abundance of asbestos. That was the update to town meeting. The other update from town meeting is that we have this creative way at the end of the project to deal with it one time only. That is the news that we're sharing with town meeting. We will come back again once we're at the end. There may be additional asbestos. Our project manager has mentioned that it's about $200,000 in addition to asbestos. We will not know to the end. The culvert was $380,000. We thought we could continue to wait as we manage the project, but this asbestos is a large portion of our contingency. So we're putting town meeting on notice of where we are with our contingency, and most likely we will be coming back.
You just said to replace the asbestos. That's different from the culvert. And the asbestos that was identified at the end of March and the beginning of April, just before town meeting, was 200 and something thousand. That was on a slide here. Mm-hmm. That's what contingency funds are to address,
right,
is those unidentified things. So the culvert was identified but ignored in the contract. There was a problem with it. You did go ahead and fix it when the field was open, and you got the money replaced at the spring town meeting. The contingency money more than enough covers the money for the asbestos. I still want an answer to this, and if you're not willing to discuss it right now, then someone needs to let me know, because this is documented already.
Yes.
I think maybe the confusion is the money in the contingency fund isn't allocated to specific items. As I look at this, the presentation that we just heard showed that the contingency fund was small to begin with, what relative to what you would expect in a project this size. It was not 8%. What we just saw in the presentation is that we've already spent well over half of the contingency fund, and we have almost half the project left to go. So they're not saying, we may not need the contingency fund. It is possible we could finish the project and the contingency fund could be fine. Fund could be fine as it is. Even, you know, with the $500,000 we added for whatever purpose last spring, that was money that was added because the contingency fund was low. The contingency fund, even with that $500,000, is still less than 8% of the original project budget. And that's why they're saying, you know, if things go the way projects like this typically do, we'll probably use it all. And then at the end, we'll see where we are.
I understand, Mr. Grimes, what you're saying. The other part of this is that some of the things that were included in the base contract, we know the culvert
That's a separate issue.
No, it isn't, because the things that are non-reimbursable were added to the base contract when the culvert needed to be addressed within the contract. So the non-reimbursable items, which the Department of Education says are not important to the building of the renovating of the school, we did those first, and those drain the contingency. The slide up there said that it was a additional site amenities. You don't use contingency for site amenities.
That's,
you use them
right.
for contingency funds.
I think the key, though, is the contingency fund is less than 8%. Typically on a project like this, as we've heard, you would expect to spend 8% contingency.
Saying the reason it's less is because the project, they put non-reimbursable items in the cost of the project,
well,
which reduced the contingency fund.
That's completely separate from the point that we're talking
about.
No,
there would be more
Phillips,
money available.
You've asked the question. Please let him finish.
There would be more available contingency funds in the project if there was less add-ons in the base contract. In other words, the field house and bleachers was $462,000.
The contingency fund was never 8% of the total project, was
it? Because they added more things to the contract than should have been added.
You're getting well beyond the issue of just the culvert now.
No, we're talking about why the contingency fund's depleted.
I'm talking about why the contingency, that the fact that the contingency fund was small to begin with.
And so am I.
Okay, well.
In other words, you don't put in money for non-reimbursable bleachers and press box at $479,000.
Ms. Phillips, the issue before us is the culvert. Actually, the issue before us is indefinite postponement of the motion on...
And I'm glad they're doing that. Thank you.
Further discussion? Mr. Phillips?
The point is not the culverts. It's a contingency fund. And
The motion before us is an indefinite postponement of an article on the culvert.
But we were just given a sales pitch on what's to be an appropriation. So I'd like to respond to the weakness of this appeal, the sales pitch we were just given. And I'm talking about its content. And in rebuttal to the information that was given, I'd like everybody at home listening, for those of you who feel you're overtaxed and not being heard, to understand one thing. This is an appropriation, at the end of the day, for contingency, not the culvert. Once that money is in contingency, it can be used for anything in the project. And the simple, plain as day point my wife attempted to make, that better educated people can't seem to comprehend, is this. Once you put it into the contingency fund, even the extras, the frills, like a defective clubhouse-sized press box, a defective artificial church turf field, can also be qualifiers for tapping into the contingency
again,
fund.
Again, please stick to the fact. Right. You're making
it
accusations.
The contingent,
as to,
no.
Yes, Mr. Phillips, please. You're making accusations as to what's defective and what is not. Please stick to the facts.
So it is. What is being done to correct the problem with, and I'm talking about what approach the school building committee is going to use to correct the oversized penthouse-sized press box and the short playing field with the artificial turf, neither one of which are reimbursable. What's going to be done to vigilantly assure that those problems are not going to cost the taxpayers of Reading one thin dime? How do we know it's not going to come out of this contingency fund, but which to a lot of us is nothing but a slush fund for the contractors? I don't trust it as being used for essentials. I don't. And when it comes to those defects, what vigilant action is the school building committee taking to assure that those problem areas are being corrected at the expense of the contractors and not the taxpayers of Reading? Could I hear from anybody in the school building committee?
Mr. Moderator, it's going to be quite simple. I'm not going to address either one of the Phillips this evening if they continue with the disparaging comments. And if they continue to be disruptive, they will be removed from town meeting.
What? For presenting information that's essential to make intelligent, informed decisions, Mr. Spadafora?
Mr. Moderator, he's talking about slush funds. He's talking about dishonesty. I don't think he's showing respect to the speakers, the townsfolk, or the contractors.
Let Mr. Spadafora finish. He was answering your question.
I'm sorry.
We're all adults. We demand respect. Our children are watching this. It's a bullying program. I think all of us should take note of how we treat each other in public. Mr. and Mrs. Phillips.
As is being told, you can't speak at public meetings because you disagree with my point of view, as was the case at a school committee meeting. But let me document my assertion. We spent some $120 in an information request to find out how major deletions occurred under the watch of the present school building committee, how these major deletions occurred at the dead-end school.
Again, Mr. Phillips, we're straying from the issue in front of us.
No, I'm telling you, we spent $120 to find out that illegal decisions were made in omission.
We have a point of order.
No, nonsense.
We had a point of order.
We've got the documentation.
Mr. Phillips, we had a point of order. Who was it called out for?
Out of public meeting.
Ms. O'Neill. Ms. O'Neill. Point of order, Ms. O'Neill. Please use the microphone.
We are all spending our valuable time here to have a civic discourse about issues that face our town. We need to stay on topic. We are getting off the topic. We are deciding whether or not to indefinitely postpone this issue. I appreciate the information. It's not even really necessary at this point in time. And I think that the school committee and their representatives have shown good faith in presenting this option with the staff to look at it at the close of the project when we know what all the costs are.
Mr. Phillips, I will let you continue, but we must stay on the subject.
I thank you. We paid $120 to find out how major omissions and downgrades occurred at the Wood End School.
This is a performance of
the same school building committee that's asking us to trust their judgment when it comes to replenishing.
Okay, you have lost the floor. Is there any further discussion? Mr. Crook.
Stephen Crook, Precinct 3. Move the question to indefinitely postpone Article 9.
Is there a second?
Second.
This is non-debatable. It also requires a two-thirds vote. I would ask Mr. Rickley, would you take the right and the Finance Committee? Mr. D'Addario, would you mind taking the center for me? And on the left, Ms. Russell. All those in favor of moving the question, ending debate on the indefinite postponement, please rise. Forty-seven? 49. And those opposed? Six. Five. And one. So 6, 5, and 1? Are those the three numbers? Okay. Vote being 121 in the affirmative, 12 in the negative. The question has been moved. Debate has ended. We will now proceed to a vote on indefinite postponement. All those in favor of indefinite postponement, please signify by raising your right hand. Those opposed, and the motion carries. It is indefinitely postponed. That brings us up to Article 16. Mr. Duffy.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Move that the town vote to amend Article 2.2.1, Rules 4 and 8 of the Town of Reading General Bylaws as follows. Rule 4. The following words shall be inserted after the word charter. Petitions for a special act or local acceptance by town meeting of a state statute, so it shall read as follows. Rule 4. Prior to a debate on each article in a warrant involving changes in the bylaw or charter, petitions for a special act or local acceptance by town meeting of a state statute, the bylaw committee shall advise the town meeting as to its recommendations and reasons therefor. Rule 8. Substitute the phrase, quotes, non-town meeting member for inhabitant in the text and insert a new sentence after the first sentence as follows. A proponent of an article may speak only on such article after first having identified himself to the moderator and obtaining permission of town meeting to speak. As amended, Rule 8 shall read as follows. Any non-town meeting member may speak at a town meeting having first identified himself to the moderator. A proponent of an article may speak on such article only after first identifying himself to the moderator and obtaining permission of town meeting to speak. No non-town meeting member shall speak on any question more than 5 minutes without first obtaining the permission of the meeting. Non-town meeting members shall be given the privilege of speaking at town meetings only after all town meeting members who desire to speak upon the question under consideration have first been given an opportunity to do so.
Is there a second? Second. Mr. Heckenmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. This is really sort of a housekeeping article after the charter amendments of last year. And the first one on Article 4 really just defines, as the charter does, that the bylaw committee will report to town meeting not only on bylaw amendments but also on charter changes and other things as indicated in the article. Under Rule 8, the language previously read that only an inhabitant could speak at town meeting, and as you know, particularly when we have projects before the town, we often have non-inhabitants speak. And so this changes the term inhabitant to non-town meeting member and then provides the process by which a non-town meeting member who's a proponent may speak, and then also that non-town meeting members may speak on any article after town meeting members have spoken already, and that's current practice. So it's something of a housekeeping article. I will say that town meeting member Bill Brown had put together the information on Article 16, 17, and 18. He's probably the second most familiar person with the Reading Home Rule Charter who lives in town.
Bylaw Committee report, Mr. Pacino.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. First, we have a technical correction. The where it says non-town meeting member, that should be a little N, not a big N. I assume that will be corrected in the final version.